You are always right when you dare to deal with sickness as with the devil. Much sickness is caused by some misconduct. There is something wrong, there is some neglect somewhere, and Satan has had a chance to get in. It is necessary to repent and confess where you have given place to the devil, and then he can be dealt with. When you deal with a cancer case, recognize that it is a living, evil spirit that is destroying the body. I prayed for a woman in Los Angeles who was suffering with cancer, and as soon as it was cursed, it stopped bleeding. It was dead. The next thing that happened was that the natural body pressed it out because the natural body had no room for dead matter. It came out like a great big ball with tens of thousands of fibers. All these fibers had been pressing into the flesh. These evil powers moved to get further hold of the system, but the moment they are destroyed, their hold is gone. Jesus said to his disciples that he gave them power to loose and power to bind. It is our privilege in the power of the Holy Spirit to loose the prisoners of Satan and let the oppressed go free. So you can understand that if you're dealing with the first or the third case, driving a spirit out is going to bring deliverance and healing to that individual. Driving the spirit out will do it. Now you say, well, haven't you given examples where you just laid hands on people and prayed in tongues or just kind of growled at the enemy or just said, go, one after another, and some were healed and others were delivered, and you didn't know what you were dealing with? Yes. How is that then? You say, what if you had one from column A, one from column B, and one from column C? You know, well, column A and C should respond to a rebuke, but what about column B? All right, here's what you need to understand then. I've said this before, but let me reiterate it. Every healing as a deliverance, and every deliverance is a healing. If you look in Luke's gospel, on several occasions, the word therapeuo, you know the English word therapeutic, etc. It's a medical word. As Luke uses it, it is properly translated to cure in the gospels. It uses the word therapeuo to cure with relation to demons. And I'll just read the references here. Luke 7:21. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. He cured people with evil spirits. How? Well, he healed them. He fixed them. He was the great physician. They were bound by an evil spirit. He cured them. If you look over in chapter 8, verse 2, it speaks of some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. And then chapter 8, verse 36. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. He had been cured. You've got to see both of these things as maladies, as abnormalities, as afflictions, as problems, demons, disease, things that need to be cured, things that need to be healed. Just like you go to a doctor with a broken bone, or you go to a doctor with a sore throat, or you go to a doctor with a lung problem, or you go to a doctor with a kidney problem, because they're all physical problems, okay? And also, if you go to somebody, to a psychiatrist, that person is also a doctor, just a little subdivision of it. They're still working to cure people. If it's a mental problem, a person goes to a psychiatrist. Or a dentist is another doctor. They're all involved in curing. So also, people who have demons need to be cured. There are several places where the Greek word iatomai, which means to heal, is used with regard to demons. We saw in Matthew 12:22, the man that was blind and mute, demon-possessed, was brought to him. Jesus healed him. Jesus healed him, and now he could see and he could speak. What does it say in Acts 10:38? God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So you find that many times. He healed people that were sick. He healed people that were demon-possessed. Every deliverance, then, is God ministering healing to an individual. And every healing, that person is being delivered from the power of sickness, from the power of Satan, from oppression. And you say, okay, I understand that. I understand how the power of God can fall and sweep through a place. You can lay your hand upon someone and power can come out and heal the sick and drive out demons. And both can happen. And I understand how in certain cases that you've got to discern exactly what you're dealing with and either pronounce healing, command something to leave, or just lay your hands and transmit healing, whatever it is, or ask God to do the work. I understand that. And instead of you, just let me interject this, instead of you being confused, someone told me they used to have a wonderful prayer life, and then they heard one of the best teachings they had ever heard on 7 effective ways to pray, and it totally destroyed their prayer life. They didn't know what to do anymore. You know, do I get up and do I praise first, or do I worship first, or do I confess first? Do I raise my hands, or do I say Father, or how do I do it? Do I get on my knees? Do I get introspective first? Do I read the word? I mean, it threw them. Well, basically what I'm saying to you is you can hit the devil with your fist. You can hit the devil with a baseball bat. You can hit the devil with a gun. I mean, look at it. You've got all the, or shoot him. Excuse me. If you've got a gun, might as well shoot him. You've got all these different ways to deal with it. As opposed to, leave. Instead of being confused and hung up like that, I'm just saying there are so many different aspects aside from the difficult cases and the specific stubborn cases where you need to stop and get divine discernment. If the power of God is flowing, miracles will happen, demons will leave, healing will come. You say, okay, that makes sense. I understand that. But I don't see where medicine fits. I don't see where medicine helps. Well, there's certain cases where medicine clearly can't help. Thank God for medical science. And again, as I was sharing with someone, a woman was trying to talk to me this week, and she was upset about the stance I took on healing. And she was trying to argue in favor of sometimes God making people sick and things. In other words, his children as a blessing. Forget judgment, forget that question totally. All right, whether that happens or not, just forget that for the moment. But just as someone handed me a tract before, and this tract said, many of God's people are chosen to be blessed. Chosen to be blessed by a wilderness experience. A time of sickness, unemployment, mental anguish, maybe God's testing and strengthening for greater work to come. I guess like death. You say, can you learn through sickness? Sure. Can you learn through a time of mental anguish? Sure. But don't go blaming God for blessing you with it. Okay? Large, large difference. But she was trying to say that to me. Well, don't say that it's not God. Don't say that. And I said, well, you would rather say that God could have healed that child, but he chose not to. That gives you more comfort than to say, he desired to heal it, but his conditions weren't met. So that gives you more confidence in God. That makes you relate to him better. And I said, well, then if that sickness is of God, then doctors are in rebellion. And hospitals should be destroyed. It's the old argument. I was just bringing it up again. If God's the healer, then thank God for doctors and medicine and hospitals as they do their best to do what's right. If God's the one who gives sickness, let's instead of picketing the abortion clinics, let's picket the hospitals. Let's burn down the pharmacies. Let's pray against doctors because they're fighting God. Well, thank God for what medical science can do. But sometimes medical science can't do anything. There's somebody, your spine's curved. There's nothing we could do. Maybe the person was just born that way. Maybe it was through an accident. Maybe a demonic spirit, little by little by little, had been crippling that person. Nothing we can do about it. But there are other times when there's a demonic spirit involved and something can be done medically. Say, I don't understand. How does that work? Well, realize this. There might be a demonic spirit that's behind a cold germ. Last Monday afternoon, just about suddenly, totally out of the blue, I felt a cold just come on me. It's happened to me several different times. I just felt the thing. All of a sudden, I got a cold that quick. Now, someone might tell me that that can be medically explained, and I'll accept that. I'm not saying it had to be a spiritual explanation. But all I know is it was pretty miserable. And next thing I was under it, and teaching last week was one of the hardest times I ever taught in my life. I felt the whole time like I was ready to keel over. I just wanted to get out, finish, blow my nose. And I just put myself in God's hands and I just look back and I said, well, was I eating right? Was I sleeping right? Because if that doesn't check out, then I don't have a whole lot of faith to get healed instantly. I feel like I got to just get my heart right and get everything else right, and then I can be delivered. But maybe there's a demonic spirit that just came upon me with that particular germ. That was all it was empowered to do. All right? In other words, it gave me a cold. Let's just accept that explanation. The thing came on me, it touched me, it gave me a cold. Just as if I said to you, okay, there's a real bad germ, it's contagious or something like that. Open your mouth, and I had the germs, you know, and I just put them in your mouth. You closed your mouth and swallowed, and now you had the thing in your system. Okay? Now the thing was in your system. Well, medicine can fight that cold. It's not fighting the demon, but it can fight the cold, can't it? Let's just say that a demon, I'm just trying to give you illustrations to help you in your thinking. A demon kicked you in the head. Now, I've never been kicked in the head by a demon, nor do I plan on it, so I can tell you what it feels like, all right? But let's just say a demon kicked you in the head and left. Well, if you took some Anacin or some Excedrin, it would help with the pain that was caused by that thing. It wouldn't do anything about the demon, but the demon's not there. What if there was a demonic spirit actively present doing something? If it was causing certain symptoms that could be medically combated, well, then medicine could do it. Let's say there was a demonic spirit that was touching an organ in somebody's body, and you could see what the problem was, and doctors said, there's thus and such a problem, we're going to have to remove that organ. You could do that, and the problem would now go away, because that's all the demonic spirit did. Now, I remember when we were first saved, we really had no idea how anything worked whatsoever. I mean, there was no teaching on it ever at all that I could think of. And in fact, the famous thing that was always said, and I've mentioned this before, I'll just mention it again, was praise the Lord, I don't understand, hallelujah, how a brown cow, bless God, can eat white. No, sorry, start again here. It's a very confusing one here. But I have to get into hallelujahs and glory to God's because that's how it was said. I don't understand, hallelujah, how a brown cow, bless God, can eat green grass, glory to God, and give white milk, praise the Lord. But I drink the milk, hallelujah, because it's good. That was it. That was the explanation. I don't know how it works, but it works. When it doesn't work, we don't know why it doesn't, but we try again anyhow. That was it. I remember a friend of mine said, well, there was a guy that came up for prayer one time and found out he was a heroin addict, and the pastor, just the anointing of God came on. It was one of the greatest services we had ever had in that church. And he just took authority over the devil and drove that spirit out. And my friend said, well, what was going on? I mean, was he addicted to heroin or was it a demon? Which was it? Was he addicted to heroin and that's what had to be broken? Or was there a demon? And when the demon left, he wasn't addicted anymore. Yes. That's exactly right. He was addicted to heroin and there was a demon. Demonic spirit had pushed him and pushed him and pushed him into that degenerate lifestyle. Now listen, demonic spirits do not have absolute power over anyone unless it's given to them. And they do not have absolute power over a person's entire life unless that person totally yields to them. So a believer cannot be demon possessed in the sense of totally dominated by Satan. That's impossible. But still, even without the gospel, even without the power of God, human beings still have a moral force, still have the light of God conscious within them with which they can resist certain things. That's why we all sinned to a certain level and didn't go further. Or maybe little by little we went further. Or others changed. No, I'm not going to continue with that. The devil can still be stopped just by human beings to a certain extent, even though ultimately without God they're his slaves. So what happened was, it was twofold. The drug was taking its effect in the demonic spirit that was binding him. And when that demonic spirit's power was broken, that person was delivered. Delivered from the whole thing, in other words. Yes, there was a physical cause for it, but as well there was a spiritual cause driving him and moving him into that position. Could that person have come off through methadrine? Not methadrine. What was it? Methadone. Sorry. Methadrine's on the other side of the spectrum. Thank God it's been a long time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When I got out of the energy conservation business and we sold these things called turbulators, there was this one thing that the competition had. And I mean, I had all the stuff down, why one was good and the other was bad and the whole bit, and why the AEI turbulator, which was actually the SMIC turbulator, was better than the Brock turbulator and all this other stuff. And there was this one other thing that was used for a certain type of boiler. And they said, this is always what we use. And I said, ours is better. And I remember when I started teaching at Christ for the Nations, one day I woke up and I realized I couldn't remember the name of what that competition's thing was used for, that one particular boiler. And to this day, it hasn't come back to me. Thank you, Lord, I don't miss it. But anyhow, could that person using methadone have gotten off heroin? Well, yes, because there was a physical problem. There was a physical definite problem, and little by little they could have overcome that thing and withdrawn. But unless they resisted the demonic powers that had pulled them into bondage the first time, they'd go right back down again. So again, somebody's physically sick. Why? The demonic spirit is the agent of sickness in many cases. The demonic spirit is the driving force behind the sickness. But if you deal with the sickness, then the thing's dealt with. What about recurrent things, though? What about the thing comes back? And there's no medical reason. There is no good reason for that thing ever to come back to that same individual. And yet they seem prone to it and doctors can't explain it. It seems evident. I'll give you an example. You'll have a certain town, certain area, where there's a rash of suicides. What's going on? Why? All of a sudden, no sociological reason could be found. The kids were as adjusted there as any other town in the United States. What happened? You say, well, one heard about it, another heard about it. That explains it just a drop, but it's awfully spooky beyond that. Well, how many times can a demonic spirit dominate a person to the point of committing suicide? How many times? And be successful? Once. Then it's gone. Now what's it going to do? Look for another candidate. And then you have the wave of them, the rash of them. Well, what if it attacks one kid? That kid doesn't know the Lord, but there's a stronger moral constitution, people praying for that kid. And that kid resists, and then another resists. That could do it right there. Or, if believers just got together and broke the power of the thing, that could break it that simple. The point I'm making, though, is very clear, though. Should be very clear. Yes, there's a germ that can cause a sickness. If you see satanic force, is the life force in that germ? Or is the driving force behind that sickness or disease, or the thing that birthed it or gave it life and energy, when that thing's driven out, the person will be healed? Or, in certain cases, you can simply deal with the medical problem that it has brought out. Just like there's a situation, this family we know on Long Island had a girl, I guess she was about 2 years old at this point, and one day she just went walking down into the pool and just walked in. And when they looked, she was standing in water over her head, drowning and not doing anything, just standing there. And they pulled her out and the kid was petrified. But from that point on, she stuttered very severely. I never had stuttered before, never. But from that point on, began to stutter very severely. Well, what happened was, they prayed, nothing happened. They brought it to different doctor specialists, and some of the ones had some pretty scary possibilities for them as to what was wrong with the kid. Well, one night, this was 2 years later, kid's 4 years old now, 2 years later. They were at a meeting, and a fellow was ministering in New York, and the Spirit was really on me heavily, and he looked over at me and knew it was just time for me to explode, and I got up there, and I called this couple up, and we just attacked the Spirit. The two of them, just like a rush of wind, hit both of them, just laid out on the floor. We weren't praying for them. We were attacking the Spirit that was over their home that was attacking that kid, and from that day on, the kid spoke perfectly. Again, a clear evidence of God's power destroying Satan, as Wigglesworth said. Or as John Lake said. Now, would it have been possible if it was a lesser case through speech therapy to help that kid overcome the problem? Sure. That kid could have concentrated and learned if it was a lesser power behind it, if it was a lesser manifestation. So in the lesser cases, and in the less critical, incurable cases, you're dealing with less powerful or less numerous demonic forces. You say, well, why is it seems that we have less problem healing a sore throat and sinuses than we do healing cancer. Well, there are several factors. One factor is our faith jumps up and down much more. I was telling people, I have never prayed for someone who was totally blind, you know, visible. I'd look at them and tell they were totally blind, or in a wheelchair, ever prayed for anyone in that physical condition. They were not healed, and I was surprised that they weren't healed. In other words, I can tell you distinctly, certain times I felt full of faith and all of a sudden looked at a condition and was moved by what I saw, and faith went out the window, at least for me. Well, in our society, with all the fear and all the talk and all the, you know, every label, this could cause cancer. And I'm not making fun of that, but I'm saying it's so prevalent. We've become such a cancer-fearing society that when people hear the word cancer, a lot of times it's just a fear reaction. It's just a reaction of unbelief. And that's why healing doesn't come. In other cases, it's because we're dealing with a more powerful demonic spirit. Now, let's face it. Somebody comes walking in and they say, you know, I'm having problems. I feel like the devil's on my back. Well, what's the problem? Well, I don't know, about twice in the last 6 months, I lost my temper a little. Well, do you think you're dealing with one of Satan's big guns behind that? If the person said, look, I was praying, all of a sudden I looked up, I saw the devil standing at my door laughing, and since then, every time I go by an axe, I pick it up, and I'm ready to chop my own head off with it, and I have to violently throw it down. I say you're dealing with a little bit more intensive power there. So when you're dealing with a demonic spirit, maybe you're dealing with an incurable disease or with a lifetime condition. Maybe you're dealing with a more powerful spirit. Maybe you're dealing with several spirits. And that's why we must be energized with the might and power of God to deal with these things. Someone that I was talking to last night outside of Cleveland about healing said, but Jesus had 100% wattage all the time. In other words, he was delivering the full power of God. The Spirit was in him, upon him without measure. I said, well, the Spirit is upon the body as a whole without measure. That we understand. And he's manifest in specific ways. None of us have all of what Jesus had. But any one of us potentially could do what he did and beyond that. And all of us together can certainly, I don't mean just in numbers, but can certainly do what he did and beyond that. It's a corporate body. But I said to the person, it's true, we don't always deliver with the wattage he did. I said, nonetheless, he makes the same conditions come to him in faith and he'll heal. I said, number two, my main concern in my life right now, my all-consuming thing in terms of healing is I want to find out how to turn up the wattage within me. Because there are two things when you're ministering healing, there are two major factors. And this has always been taught, it's a basic principle. One factor is the faith of the recipient. The other factor is the degree of healing anointing being ministered to. It's like, do I reach forward this far or this far or this far? And do you reach out to me this far? You know, where is it? If I'm the one ministering healing to someone, how far does the healing anointing go? How far does the faith go? I remember in our church one time where I was saved, a girl came up for healing and the pastor was standing up a few steps up from where she was. And as he went to lay hands on her, he came running off the pulpit area. I mean, he went to lay hands on her. He looked like he fell forward and came running off. And he was astounded. He said, virtue went out. He said, she drew it out of me. He kept marveling. He never had anyone draw it. She drew it out of me. And he was such a humble guy. Such a good. She drew it out of me. Praise the Lord. Like when Jesus said virtue, she drew it out of me. The surprised look on his face. But you see, you're dealing with all those different factors. And if you're coming and a powerful anointing of the Spirit, doesn't matter what's standing there in the way. It doesn't matter whether it's paralysis for life. Doesn't matter whether it's an incurable disease. Doesn't matter whether it's total insanity. The power of God does the work and sets the captives free. So, yes, medicine can work because you're dealing with sickness, problems. In many cases, medicine can't work, and it could be that the demonic force, the demonic power, Satan, one of his agents, has so attacked that person's body that medical science cannot help them. Or it could be that just a natural thing, a terrible car accident, has so mauled that body that no one can help. Or it could be the first case where a demon is actually holding on to that person and doing things to their body, just gripped it, and they're not letting go. And the only thing that's going to help them is the Spirit of God. But remember, when God's healing power is applied, it doesn't matter if it's deliverance from demons or healing of disease or healing from demons or deliverance from disease, the same power doing the same work. Let me just read you a quote from Lake after he referred to that miracle where that army of demons was driven back and healing came miraculously the next morning. He said, "Now when you consider that I have been a man of some scientific training, you can understand what an introduction into a life meant where everything was made new and of a different order. Instead of being on the hard, natural plane of materialistic life and knowledge, now suddenly introduced into the spirit, you can realize what a revolution was brought to pass in my soul and how gradually discovery after discovery revealed the wonder of God and the mighty action of God through the souls of men." And he said, "No man can live in the environment in which a large portion of my life has been spent without realizing that unless men contact God in real power, power out of the ordinary, power sufficient for tremendous needs and unusual occasions, they cannot live." When you get a vision of demons attacking people, demons birthing sickness, disease, and all kinds of affliction, demons being at the root of so much suffering, when you see it like we did with our friend's four-year-old child, the baby of the family, though, just a vicious attack on this kid's body. When you see that kind of thing happening, it moves you in a deeper way to commit yourself to be a vehicle of healing and deliverance. It moves you in a more intense and powerful driving way to take authority over the enemy. He gave his disciples authority to drive out demons and to heal every sickness and disease. We've got to move with that divine authority and with that reckless abandon. And we need to come into a place together where we make an effort. Where we make an effort to see something happen. Where we're not content to sit back and wait, but where we make an effort to break Satan's power. Where we make an effort to move forward. You said, "Well, I'm afraid that if I take authority, here's someone paralyzed, and I sense the reason they're paralyzed is a demon. I'm afraid to rebuke a demon of paralysis because nothing might happen." Well, I can assure you, if you don't rebuke it, nothing will happen. So your greatest fear will be realized. You'll get no results. You might as well, in faith before God, begin to step out. No, you don't need to proclaim to the whole world, "Watch what's going to happen." But if you say, "Lord, that thing is not of you, and I know your authority is in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to speak that name," go ahead and speak it. And if you feel like you hit a brick wall and there's no authority and faith in you to drive that thing out, put that person in God's hands. "Father, I commit this one to you, and I pray you'll bring healing and total deliverance into their lives." And then go back to God and get filled with knowledge, filled with power, filled with dedication to make a difference. Demons and disease, look at them really as fingers on the same hand. Look at them as things that are just interrelated. Look at them as things when the power of God comes down and brings freedom. The sick are healed, the demonized are set free, and both of those cases are going to be overlapping throughout. And in either case, Jesus and Jesus alone will be glorified as the great healer, the great deliverer, the Savior of all. Amen. Father, we thank you for your power revealed to us in the name of Jesus. We pray for a growing faith and a growing determination and a growing hunger and a growing anger and rage against the powers of darkness. And that crying out within our soul for a release of your strength and might and power in our lives. For the unloosing of the flow of your spirit that is within us. For a manifestation of your gifts. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would do a lasting work in us. Thank you, Lord God. Amen.